Well, today's session, we talk about a man and his work. And we go back to that mirror that's on the wall. And we think about the importance of we as men being all that we can be. And we need life change. We need the willingness to go against what our natural inclination is, which is to be selfish and to seek the Lord. And we look in that mirror, and under mirror on the wall, the secret of the first mirror. When it comes to home, the difference between average and winning big is often in a few small, unnatural, but on target behavioral adjustments a man chooses to make. So I want to be different than just average. I want to win big. And when you think about that in the sports realm, it's only 5/10 of a second in a 40-yard dash, a 40-meter dash, that can separate the good high school athlete from the one that could go not just to college, but to the pros. It's the 5 points on an ACT that can make the difference in getting into the college at the level that you'd like to get into. And so when you think about when we're at home, that our hope would be we'd want to win big. We do that in so many realms of our life. And so what's the difference between being average and winning big? Well, it's becoming a student of your craft, and your craft is your wife and your children, but predominantly your wife. And so what separates that? It's knowing her needs and then acting on that. It's knowing her love language and then acting on that. It's learning her personality type and acting on that. And it's not desiring to change her, but becoming a changed person so that you would be not just average. And so we move from the home, we move to a man's work mirror, which would, what's the difference? What would separate you from being just average and winning big? So many men settle even in that area. I'll do just enough to get by, as opposed to becoming the best in your craft. Wouldn't that be great if we as Christians would take it so seriously that we'd want to win big? We wouldn't want to just stay average. Well, some introductory thoughts about work. Most men define themselves by what they do. In fact, according to Psychology Today, which this is back from May of 1981, so it's even probably a greater level now, but it said this: one's career is probably the most important influence on one's perception of quality of life. What we have decided to do with our life and then what that says about us will communicate to ourselves even our perception, let alone others. So many times the question is asked, what do you do? What do you do? And you answer that question by what you do. And if you don't have pride in it, then it may not be a question that you want to answer. If it's something that you take pride in, you wouldn't hesitate to answer that question. Letter C, men spend more time in the workplace than anywhere else. 60-65% of our time is at work. 30-35% of our time is with family and personal interests. And then 0-10% of our time is in church activities. So you think about the power of our employment, the power of our career. And according to a Gallup survey, almost 80% of men feel miscast in their jobs. I have a friend that has helped people for years to transition out of what they've done for years and into their desires, their skill set. And it is amazing how many men make a change later in life because for various reasons. I did this because I thought this is what my dad wanted me to do, my mom would want me to do. This I thought would make money. I felt secure with the benefits, but it was literally nothing that they wanted to do. 80%. So E, finding deeper meaning and purpose in work is becoming more and more important for those in a career or choosing one. F, work and work-related issues are chief topics of the Bible. Do you know that the Bible addresses work even more than it does the family? And yet, 90% of all Christians have never read a book, heard a sermon, or listened to a tape that focuses specifically on the workplace. H, many Christian men do not know how to take Jesus Christ with them to work. Therefore, Jesus is left home, and the workplace becomes a spiritually barren, secular experience. Letter I, many Christian men have haunting, unanswered questions when it comes to their work. Like this, number one, is there one right job for me? Or two, does my work really matter to God? Or three, how does God work at work? And four, how much work is too much? Those are valid questions for a man to ask. And so that moves us to the next section, which is key motivation behind a man's work. And so if you're looking at the chart, we start from the bottom and we just fill in the blanks this way. At the bottom there, when it comes to motivation, because I have to. Wow, that is true, but it's a very base motivation. We take a step higher and it says, because I want to meet my needs and the needs of my family. And then we keep moving up, because I desire to have a certain standard of living. We keep going up, because I desire to accomplish something meaningful. Keep going up the ladder, because I seek to do something through my work that is helpful and of service to others. Because I seek to do something through my work that is helpful and of service to others. And then we go even higher, because I can earn money that I can give to help others. And then even above that, because I can earn money that I can give to advance God's kingdom on earth. And then because I can serve and glorify God in my work and spiritually impact people. So that answers the question under letter A there, why work? Now let's go back down to the bottom of the ladder again, and we look at the drives there, what the driving motivations. And the first one at the bottom is paycheck driven. And then secondly, passion driven. Thirdly, as you go up there, philanthropy driven. And then at the top there, purpose driven. So there's some observations here. The scriptures, number one, the scriptures affirm each of these motivations. The scripture affirms each of these motivations. And so let's go back to that chart again and look at the bottom there. And it says, because I have to. That brings us to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. And it says this, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. So that's the basic thing there. But then we move up, because I want to meet my needs and the needs of my family. We come to 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And then we keep going, because I desire to have a certain standard of living, Ecclesiastes 5:19, everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. So as Solomon, as the preacher, has talked about vanity, he's moving through the book of Ecclesiastes, and he recognized that that was a gift from God. But then we go even higher, and it's because I desire to accomplish something meaningful to me. Ecclesiastes 2:24. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. And then because I seek to do something through my work that is helpful and of service to others, 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then because I can earn money that I can give to help others, Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And then, under purpose driven there, because I can earn money that I can give to advance God's kingdom on earth, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. So I give because God's blessed me. And then lastly at the top there, because I can serve and glorify God in my work and spiritually impact people. Colossians 3:23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So that is our ultimate motivation. So back to observations. The more of these motivations a man has in his work, the more motivated he will be in his job. So if it just stays at the base level, you see laziness creep in. You see sloth creep in. Because a mind change has to happen. A change of heart that results in a change of action. It's a repenting from that. Number three, the more of these motivations a man has in his work, the bigger perspective he will have of his job. And then four, the more success a man experiences with each of these motivations, the happier and more personally fulfilled he will be in his work. So what men want from their work? A, success. That's a huge motivator for a man. I want to be successful. Gain respect of your wife and your family. B, recognition. It is nice every now and then to be recognized for what you do. C, fit. They want to know that they are in the proper spot that they should be. D, fair compensation. That's only reasonable. E, community. It's great when you're able to work with people that you love to spend time with and build community there. And then F, having a balance in your life. It isn't just one side or the other, you're seeing a balance in what you're doing. Roman numeral 5, what a man needs to have to get what he wants from his work. A higher view of work, and that's God's view. We see that in the scriptures that are listed there, let alone throughout the word. A man skilled in his work. Letter B, a courageous approach with work. Don't settle for anything less than the right fit. Instead of settling, could go, no, this is what I'm made for. I'm going to pursue that. Letter C, a broader understanding of work. Who you are is as important as what you do. So the integrity, when no one's looking, what that looks like for you in your job. And then letter D, a more purposeful interaction at work. And there are eternal purposes, the opportunity to share with others. You're getting your job done. That's communicating your belief in a God that's watching you, that you have a relationship, that's your Father, your Heavenly Father, and you're willing to now share with others why you work the way you work. Builds a testimony. So as we wrap up here and you think of these questions, number one, look again at the 8 motivations for working. Which of those 8 presently motivate you in your work? And then could you explain that? And then rank each of the 6 things men want from their work in importance to you, with 1 being most important and 6 being least important. Circle your ranking for each and explain why you ranked them this way, out of success and recognition and fit and fair compensation and community and balance. And number 3, put either a plus for I have this in my present job or a minus for I don't have this in my present job beside each of the 6 things men want from their work. And how does your assessment explain your current feelings about your job? And then could you explain that? So once again, success, recognition, fit, fair compensation, community, and balance. Do you have it plus or don't you have it minus? And then what did you hear today that impacted you the most? And could you explain that?